You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, our amazing crew, and you here on Westwood One Sports. Dave Damashek of Football America will join us in 20 minutes. Dave is one of the absolute best when it comes to breaking down and talking the National Football League. I feel weird saying this because, like, I don't like this. Yinzer is what people call, like, the Pittsburgh sports fans, people from Pittsburgh, the Yinzers. Dave is one of the great Yinzers in the history of Yinzers, and his Steelers today will play the Houston Texans on Monday Night Football. We'll get his opinion on that game, Pittsburgh and Houston, and everything that happened in Wild Card Weekend, the coaching carousel in the NFL. Dave Damashek coming up in 20 minutes here on this Monday on You Better You Bet. And over the balance of the rest of the show, we will continue to break down Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. All the bets for tonight coming up to close the show. Joe Fortenbaugh of ESPN next hour here on this Monday. Ended the first hour talking about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills and why I think the Bills are going to win the AFC. And I felt that way last week. And I bet the Bills in yesterday's game, and it was not without its, you know, anxiety-inducing moments if you bet that game. But Josh Allen got them over the finish line when it mattered the most. And he was Superman in the game. If Josh Allen yesterday was Superman, I don't even know what you would call Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen. They were not superheroes. No. These were bumbling supervillains. Like Doomsday killed Superman in the 1990s. Superman would, of course, come back because Superman can never die because he's a fictional character that makes a lot of money for DC. So Superman's never going to die. But Doomsday killed him. And maybe Bo Nix will be Doomsday. Doubtful. Or Drake May or Matthew Stafford. We shall see. They weren't even like Lex Luthor yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't even know enough about Superman to know like what curtain jerk and jabroni supervillains they would be. But they blew the game. We'll start with Liam Cohen. I don't even know what to say. Liam Cohen had the blueprint to beat the Buffalo Bills. Everyone knows what it is. You run it down their throats, and you keep running it, and you run it, and you run it, and you run it some more. If I had told you before the game, the stat that I'm about to give you is an accurate one. If I had told you, the listener, you, the viewer, that the Jacksonville Jaguars would average 6.7 yards per carry against Buffalo, who do you think would have won the game? Almost 7 yards per carry from the Jaguars' offense. I'll bet you would have run over women and children like George Costanza to make the bet on the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Travis Etienne and Bashaul Tuten, who looked like prime Fred Taylor on the minimal carries he had, only had a combined 14 carries in the game. Liam Cohen had the blueprint to win and kill Superman and turn into Doomsday, and instead opted to let Trevor Lawrence, who does his best Thor imitation with the long hair, lose the football game for him. That's what happened. This idea, like a guy who has great hair, maybe it's me, maybe it's not me, and the women love the hair, and the hair makes the man, and he decides, you know what? I'm going to buzz it all off. Why would you do that? You play into your strengths in life and in sports. That's what it's all about. Like, if you work out all the time and you've got great muscles, why would you cover them up? Why would you do that? If you're Jacksonville, why wouldn't you run the ball on every play in the game? Make them prove that they can stop it. Liam Cohen blew the game. And Trevor Lawrence wasn't good enough. And I'm a Trevor Lawrence fan. And you know that if you listen to the show and you watch the show. I am a Trevor Lawrence fan. I bet the Jaguars to win the AFC South before the season. I had Trevor Lawrence in a million fantasy leagues, and he screwed my teams up for the first half of the season and then won some leagues for me down the stretch. I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. This is not meant to be anti-Trevor as far as his career goes. He was not good yesterday. I don't care that he threw three touchdowns. He misfired on a bunch of passes, threw two critical interceptions, including the one that ended the game for Jacksonville. You're a Jaguars fan or a Jaguars better? Yes. Great season. Great first season for Liam Cohen in Duval County. And yeah, future's definitely bright. No question about it. I'm not trying to bury the Jaguars moving forward. But yesterday, you had an opportunity to kill Superman. It was right in front of you to be doomsday and take down Superman. And instead, you went down with a whimper on an interception to end the game with less than a minute to play. Last note on the Buffalo Bills. So, at the end of the game, when Buffalo scores to take the lead, with under a minute to play, Jacksonville has no timeouts, first and goal from the one. Buffalo, the Jaguars let them score. And I was texting with some friends. I'm like, the Jaguars are going to let them score here. And there are a lot of people, and I think that there's an argument to be made one way or the other here. And I mean that. So I'm not saying that I'm 100% right about this. Like, some things I think that I'm 100% right on. I don't think I'm 100% right on this. It's my opinion. People think that the Bills should have kneeled on the ball and killed as much time as possible and then scored a touchdown and basically ended the game and not given the Jaguars a chance for Trevor Lawrence to throw a pick, given the big leg that Cam Little has, and maybe he bangs one home from 65 to send the game to overtime. I'm very much of the opinion that you cannot assume a score. And a lot of people that I think are really smart and that I really respect believe that Sean McDermott didn't handle it properly. That they should have taken a knee, killed 40 seconds, and ran a couple sneaks from there. And yeah, like maybe they would have scored. And they probably would have. What happens if you fumble the snap or Allen gets stripped as he's trying to put the ball over the goal line? Like, what if calamity ensues? Like, then what? Then what? Like, you can't assume a touchdown. You can't assume that you're just going to score. You have to score. So I actually think, and I criticize Sean McDermott all the time, I have no problem with Sean McDermott and the Bills. Just take the lead, and then you deal with what happens afterwards. But you have to take the lead. This wasn't like the game was tied, and you're going to go to overtime. You have to score a touchdown. Field goal does nothing for you. You have to score, right? With where you're at. You're down 24-20. You can't kick a field goal to tie the game. You need a touchdown. I had no problem with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen in that moment. Scoring, and the Jaguars were right to let them score to try and get the football back. You better you bet on this Monday. Nick Costos here with you on Westwood One Sports. Dave Damashek will join us coming up in a little bit. We have to talk about the broadcast. Because this was a stellar wild card weekend. I actually think it's the best wild card weekend ever. Now, Wild Card Saturday was better than Wild Card Sunday, and I think Wild Card Saturday 2026 is the best individual Wild Card day since January 4th, 2003, which was a Sunday, which was Tommy Maddox and the Steelers beating Kelly Holcomb and the Cleveland Browns and Butch Davis and the Cleveland Browns 36-33, and then in what was the worst loss of my fandom in my life, my Giants blowing a 38-14 lead to Jeff Garcia and the San Francisco 49ers losing 39-38. And in these games, Eagles-Niners, right? Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady, where Tom Brady is just, I mean, you want to talk about making the leap in year two? He made the leap from year one to year two. Year one doesn't play, year two wins a Super Bowl in his pro career. This is kind of a similar leap from Tom Brady from year one to year two as a broadcaster. He is so, so, so good. Joe Davis and Greg Olson did a great job on Fox with the Rams-Panthers game on Saturday. Say what you want about Al Michaels returning, and I've said a lot about Al Michaels, and I think he's kind of like, I don't think it's an insult to say he's lost his fastball. He reared back on Saturday night and was throwing 100 during the Packers-Bears game on Amazon Prime. He was great, and he elevated that broadcast. Bills Jaguars was a classic wild card game. Tremendous sporting event. Tony Romo made it worse. And I don't even want to group Jim Nance in here, because Jim Nance is Jim Nance. And I have to imagine he would never say it. I don't know him personally. Jim Nance has to be beside himself having to work with Tony Romo. It's like in Superbad, when and I won't talk about why he says it, because it's got a little off color, but he uses the line, blank, blank, blank would be like slapping God in the face. What Tony Romo's doing is like slapping the broadcasting, the sports gods, fans in the face. And I don't even think this is something that anyone could disagree with. For example, I think Chris Collinsworth is great. Like, I don't think it's an arguable point. But I also acknowledge that it's subjective, right? Like, I don't mind putting pineapple on pizza sometimes, as long as it's paired with something spicy, right? That's my opinion. You can hear that and say, oh my God, like you're a Fugazi Mediterranean, and maybe you're right. It's a matter of opinion. Some people like Coke, some people like Sprite, some people like this, some people like that. I think Collinsworth is great. But I can at least respect the opinion of someone that doesn't like his style, for whatever the reason. What is the bull case to be made for Tony Romo being a good broadcaster? Like, does anyone want to make this case? Is this subjective where you can say, I don't like Chris Collinsworth, or I don't like Joe Buck? Even if I think you're wrong about that, I can say, okay, it's your opinion. Is the Tony Romo thing an opinion, or is this just a fact that he's atrocious? And it seems like he's not prepared, and it seems like he's aloof, and he's talking about weird things, and he's making weird noises, guttural noises. What is that? Starts the game comparing the Jaguars to the Carolina Panthers on Saturday. The Panthers were double-digit dogs. The Jaguars were favored in the game. We're not even talking about the same thing. He will assign the same level of importance to a 3rd-and-7 on the opening drive of the game to Josh Allen trying to get the ball across the goal line to win it in the final minute. He's not even close. Like, we're not even in the ballpark here. This isn't an opinion. This is like a fact. You can't argue facts. Like, I'm telling you right now, grass is green, water's wet, the sky is blue. And if you're telling me Tony Romo does a good job, you're telling me water's dry, grass is yellow, and the sky is red. No. He's not close. He's not even in the ballpark. Romo to Collinsworth? Please. Aikman? Please. Brady? Please. Watt? Please. Olsen? Please. Come on. Come on. Not even close. And it, like, ruins the game. I can't tell you how many texts I got yesterday from friends of mine in the media and otherwise who are like, oh my, because a lot of people watch Red Zone during the year and you don't have to sit and watch Tony Romo call a game for 3 hours. I go, what happened here? Romo in 2018, in his first year, was magnificent. And in the AFC Championship game, Patriots Chiefs, I talked about this last week, which is the Brady beating Mahomes game, right? I think it was, up until last week with Tirico and Collinsworth, Steelers-Ravens, I thought it was the best game broadcast that I have ever watched in my life. Romo, specifically in overtime of Patriots-Chiefs, basically predicting every play the Patriots were going to run. It was unbelievable, right? Remember what you felt like in that moment. Like, this is the new John Madden. And he gets that fat contract from CBS. They still owe him $90 million. There's a term that's used in economics. Like, when I first moved out of my mom's basement, I was 27 years old. That's kind of sad. But listen, you work in sports radio, you do the best you can. I bought an armoire from IKEA. I can't put anything down. I'm not a handyman. I tried, spent like 2 hours. I said, you know what? F it. I think I got high afterwards. I probably like took a bong hit. I left it outside for someone to take. Sunk cost. You spent the money. There's nothing to be done about it. You move on. Tony Romo's a sunk cost. Unless he starts putting the work in again. Because by all accounts, he's not. And I don't even know what the argument is against it. CBS has the Super Bowl in a couple years again. They going to let Tony Romo call this game? If this is what it's going to be? And this is not a Jim Nance thing. And I know some people prefer Ian Eagle to Nance. Some people prefer Nance. They're both awesome. Nance is a living legend. We can't have J.J. Watt calling these games or Greg Olsen calling these games if this is what it's going to be. I got nothing against Romo personally. I don't know him. I got nothing against. It would make me happy if he were great. He's not. That's it. What's the opinion otherwise? Who wants to make the case that he's actually good? Who wants to make that case? I don't. And I won't. You better, you bet. On this Monday. Last note for this segment. Dave Dameshek will join us on the other side. You know, we had the Matt LaFleur news that broke right before the show that the Packers are going to try to work out an extension with him. And as a result of having to do that, you know, haven't gotten to the Bears part of the Saturday night game against Green Bay. Just want to give some credit to Chicago and Caleb Williams for that performance and that fourth quarter, where the throw by Caleb Williams on 4th and 8 with 5.5 minutes to play, 27-16, Packers leading at the time, is the best throw of the entire season. And I feel like we say this about Caleb Williams a lot, where this throw is now the best throw of the season. It's ridiculous. Like, basically, like, stand, like shooting a three-pointer without jumping. Like, no time to set his body, no time to, like, use his legs to generate torque and power on the throw. Perfect strike from right to left on your television screen on the near sideline to Roma Dunze for the first down. And if he doesn't make that play, the Packers win the game. And we're not having any of these conversations right now. Caleb was great, and Ben Johnson was brutal in the first half, managing the game. He got it together in the second half, thanks, and the Packers had a lot to do with that. But man, good stuff by Caleb Williams, good stuff by Ben Johnson, great stuff by the Bears, vanquishing their hated rival, the Green Bay Packers. And now, the Bears this weekend will host the LA Rams. And the Rams are 3.5-point favorites right now on the road at BetMGM. I don't know what I want to do as far as the side of the game goes. The total's 51.5. If you're out there listening or watching, and I'm not making a case necessarily for the Bears to pull the upset, but if you don't think the Bears can score on that terrible Rams secondary that Bryce Young lit up on Saturday, you don't know ball. The weather holds up. How's that? How is that game not 41-38 one way or another with the Rams and the Bears this weekend? On the other side, my good friend, Dave Dameshek from Football America on the Meadowlark Network. Dave Dameshek joins the show to talk Steelers-Texans tonight and everything we saw in Wild Card Weekend. Coming up next, You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Mike Tirico last week on NBC as the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. Our friend Dave Dameshek will join us in just a moment. Celebrity fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers ahead of the Steelers Monday Night Football game tonight against the Houston Texans. Sheck will join us to talk the Texans and the Steelers and the rest of what we saw on Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Very much look forward to that. Our friend Joe Fortenbaugh will join us coming up next hour on the show, ESPN sports betting analyst. Joe, one of the best in the business, will get his bets for tonight with the Steelers and the Texans and his early thoughts on the divisional rounds of the NFL. All of my bets, side total and props for the divisional round in the air, or for tonight with the Steelers and Texans, coming up to close the show in the final hour, the Power Hour. What's happening off air right now is I mean, this should be something that should be, like, we should put this on YouTube as a YouTube short. As our friend Dave Damashek, who I think is, I don't know, maybe like 60. It's kind of old. Definitely older than me. Is trying to figure out technology in order to get on the air right now. Mike, do we have Dave Damashek here with us right now? I can see him off air. Shek, can you hear me?
I can hear you, you bum. Oh, I'm not 60.
And you sound great. 60. The microphone is correct. I absolutely love it.
What a bum. How are you, fella? Listen, don't you see I'm living my best life right now? Don't you see that my teams have combined to barely lose a single game so far in this calendar year? The only thing bringing me down is you. Let me just tell your audience how you operate. You're like a second-rate family-run restaurant. And let me just tell the interaction I had with your hero, Costos, last night. He said, "Hey, Dave, can you jump in on the show tomorrow to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers? You're a big Steelers fan. What time would be good for you? We got a big 3-6-hour window. I now run digital sports media. I'm the king of all wagertainment. So you call your shot and we'll make it so." And I said, "Well, listen, I'm on the West Coast. I'm 3 hours behind you. How about, you know, since you're on all day, what about nice and breezy, 8 a.m. Pacific Coast time?" And he said, "Well, that's not available. How about instead we do the time I want you to use?" I'm like, "Well, then why'd you even offer me, though? Why'd you give me a ray of a..." I once went to a restaurant and the guy comes to the table and he's like, "What do you want, sir? Do you want the veal or the chicken?" And I said, the chicken, I think, tonight." And he said, "We don't have chicken tonight. Veal it is." What are you even offering me? The other, like, would choose your time. Like, "Well, the only time I have available for you is right now." Anyway, all right. Good to see you. And most importantly, mazel tov on this new gig. I'm over the moon for you, fella. Nobody deserves it in this business more than you do.
I love how just everyone apparently sounds like the bartender at the Copacabana from Goodfellas. Like, we all just sound like those stereotypical Italians or Mediterraneans, possibly imaginable.
"What time do you want to come on to my show?"
"Yeah, you come on at, you know, at the 7:20 Pacific time," which you did, and now it's 7:27 a.m. Pacific time. Dave Damashek is our guest. Dave's show is sensational. I've been on it a number of times. Football America for our friends at Meadowlark Media. You can subscribe to his YouTube page, youtube.com/@FootballAmericaShow, and he is on social media at Damashek. Shek, we'll talk about your Pittsburgh Steelers. You are a Yinzer, a celebrity Pittsburgh sports fan. We'll get to the Steelers and the Texans in a little bit. But your biggest story coming out of the games we saw this weekend, Wild Card Weekend and the NFL, is what and why?
It definitely is the ongoing. I mean, the sad thing is obviously the ongoing Justin Herbert in January story, but vainly or otherwise, I have to focus in on something that I foretold really not just all this season, but for the last few seasons, which is that, you know, you can get into the advanced analytics if you want to. But to me, they're two pretty simple things to observe and should guide you next late December as you're trying to assess who's going to the Super Bowl. One, for all of our obsession with name brand guys, and I'm guilty of that as I just invoke the name Justin Herbert, but poor Josh Allen, is he ever going to get his? And Lamar Jackson and all those guys, and Rich Eisen saying, like, "Boy, these playoffs are going to stink without Patrick Mahomes. You're going to miss him without him being there." We react as a football loving society to, like I say, the brand names, and Josh Allen reminded us of what the difference of having a superhero at the position can make. Against the Jags on Sunday. But the facts are these. The window to go to the Super Bowl, whether you like it or not, is when you have a quarterback who is the real deal, but he's still on his rookie contract, which is to say, I mean, no rookie quarterback has ever gone to the Super Bowl, although Jaden Daniels has gotten close. And that's a nice little side story to answer your question, too. How about the 2024 QB draft class? Is it already entered into the conversation as the best ever? Really think it through. Jaden Daniels is a non-factor this year, but he almost went to a Super Bowl last year. Meantime, three of his pals are into the divisional round as we speak here. But seasons 2 through 6 is the sweet spot for teams with a for the quarterback, those teams go to the Super Bowl and win it way more than any other window you can point to. Seasons 2 through 6, 14 of the last 26 Super Bowls have been won by quarterbacks in that window. Outside, that's in the age of Brady and Peyton, mind you. I'm accounting for those guys, and even still, 14 of 26 is nothing to turn your nose up at. And the other one is, obviously, in the age of coin flip games, playing one less is everything. And so the teams with the bye are the teams to look at. The Denver Broncos remain my choice out of the AFC, largely because those two factors that I just cited for you are favoring the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix in year two and the rest of it. And I think he's going to end up playing his pal Drake May for a trip to the Super Bowl, much like Peyton and Brady did a generation ago. Fun stuff.
Wow, I'd like, yeah, so we've got a Patriots-Broncos AFC championship game. I like Buffalo in the AFC because I think they've got the best quarterback, but we will see coming up next week the Bills at the Denver Broncos. You know, I haven't gotten to Sheck, and You Better You Bet on this Monday. Dave Damashek, our guest from Meadowlark Media. Football America is his show. You should subscribe to it on YouTube. I've been on it. I'm biased. I think the show is great. I haven't talked about the Patriots-Chargers game yet on the show, and because you use the word sad to describe Justin Herbert in the way I think the discourse is going to be about Herbert. I don't think it's sad. I don't think he sucks. He doesn't suck. He's really good, and a lot of teams in the NFL would love to have him. But we don't have to make excuses for him, Sheck. Like, we can tell the truth, and it doesn't have to be sad. He was horrific last night. He was terrible. He did nothing to help his team potentially win the game. I don't care that he doesn't have his offensive lineman. I don't care that they're probably going to fire the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. Why is the discord? Why is it sad what happened to Justin Herbert? He was bad. That's the end. That's it. Period. End of story.
There's something about the quality of the hits and his physical reaction to them. I mean, it seemed late in the fourth quarter, every time he went down, it seemed like he may or may not get back up again. The way he was prone and just completely just about lifeless after every time.
Listen, I'm just going to say this because I know Sheck is a football historian here. Like, I will invoke the name of my favorite quarterback of all time. I'm a Giants fan, Eli Manning, who got the absolute crap kicked out of him in the 2011 NFC Championship game at Candlestick by Justin Smith and the Niners. Like, that's just one example. Like, I'm just...
Not Jeff Hostetler. Hostetler
got the crap kicked out of him by the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25, and by the Niners also in the NFC Championship game. Just like, why do we have to do... Like, I'm being serious. Herbert's great. I'm not saying he's bad, but why do we have to make these excuses for Justin Herbert? Like, oh, he got hit a bunch. What quarterback doesn't get hit? He stinks in these big spots, right?
You were going to get no argument from me, Pally. I'm just making the observation that it was he did seem to be hung out to dry a little bit by the football gods more than by the Chargers organization. I mean, he just had no offensive line. I thought that the Chargers had a chance to survive because of exactly that. The one thing the Patriots haven't shown an ability to do this season is to really consistently heat the QB up. And so that's why I thought the Chargers had a real puncher's chance going into Foxborough. But the big picture that you're getting at, of course, while I respect advanced analytics and people who find sports and football because of a passion for math and analyzing the numbers, and I mean that sincerely, however you come to love the sport, if it's because you love the pageantry and that's what lured you in, whatever it is. But the math people, well-intentioned though they are, get in the way of the drama of what we're watching right now. They want to inadvertently convince you that what all this amounts to is this tournament, the sample sizes are too small to be able to read anything into them and how that impacts how we should regard their overall career. And Justin Herbert is the perfect example of exactly that. Look at the advanced numbers and how great he is and what he's been able to do. It doesn't make a difference, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to think it's fair or otherwise. This is how history is written. Who comes through in these limited big spots, severe or otherwise, are the enduring legends of the sport. So if you don't do it, and at this point, it's starting to look like Justin Herbert may not ever do it. And by the way, guess what? Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen may never get theirs either. And that goes for Joe Burrow, too. Again, people get into this weird sort of, I'm with you too, and I'm not trying to take a hard right turn to be agreeable with you. I mostly agree with exactly what you're saying, that that this weird need for empathy about, like, poor guy, he deserves a better situation, has led us into this place where we're ignoring, like, where we just have to declare to let them off the hook. Ah, don't worry about Lamar Jackson. He'll eventually get a Super Bowl. Will he? The math doesn't work out for all of these high-end QBs to win Lombardis, because you know why, Nick? It's because they give out one a year. They don't give out multiple. They only give out one a year. So the math does not allow for Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Patrick Mahomes. You think he's ever going to get another one? If you do, then that takes one away from all the other available guys who would like to get theirs, and CJ Stroud and Bo Nix and Brock Purdy. There just are not enough Lombardis to go around. So I'm with you, feeling sad for these guys. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to get his. Yeah, guess what? He's going to have company, and that's a good thing, because I hear that's what misery likes.
Oh, misery absolutely loves it. Perhaps, check. I hope this is not the case, because I'm betting on your team, and I think they're going to win tonight.
I know you are. Why am I such a curmudgeon about this? Everybody I've talked to is on your side.
Well, I would say, like, let's say the Steelers were a three-point favorite, and the Texans are a three-point road favorite tonight at BetMGM. Like, I wouldn't bet the Steelers laying three, but they're a three-point home dog, and the Texans' offensive line stinks, and I don't trust the Texans' offense. So, look, no matter what happens in the game, like, Houston can win 17-0. I think it's a pretty easy button to click, and I live with whatever the result is. Sounds like you're a little more pessimistic. In about 90 seconds, tell me how you see the game playing out tonight with your Steelers hosting the Texans.
Agree with what you said, I think, a few days ago. The hook spooks me if you're on the Texan side of things. But, you know, yes, if you hyper-focus on, to your point, the Texans, the pass rush and everything else, it's pretty simple math. If you've watched Aaron Rodgers, you don't even have to go back through the entire season, but just look at the last few weeks. Why did they thrive against the Lions, but not against the Browns? But then again without DK Metcalf against the Ravens. Pass rush. Aaron Rodgers is a 42-year-old man. He's aware of his mortality. His priority, whether he is lucid about it or not, is not taking big-time shots. He's looking to avoid those. The Texans do that better than anyone. That scares me. Now, turn it the other way, though, and to your point, the Texans have a terrible offensive line. CJ Stroud is in a real big spot career-wise. He needs to get the stink off himself as well. And that amounts to a certain amount of pressure on Houston. So I think my favorite play of the night is the under here. I'm ultimately going to ride with the Steelers. I don't care if they win, you know, 5-3 or 51-50. Just survive.
That won't be the final score.
Let's go up the
5-3.
You don't think
so? I think 5-3 is more likely than 51-50.
More likely. That's where, that's now right at the end there. See, where we park our cars in the same garage.
Shaq, you're the best. Football America is a sensational NFL show. Football America Show on YouTube is where you can find it as part of Meadowlark Media, and follow Dave on Twitter at Damashek. Good luck to your Steelers tonight, my friend.
Right at the, thank you so much, Pally, and I appreciate the optimistic sort of words that you're floating out into the world there. Save a little bit for the Indiana Hoosiers in the national championship game.
They
won't
need it.
Thank goodness technology didn't completely let us down here. See, we made it work at the last second.
I absolutely love it.
I'll have the veal. Yeah, there's no veal. No veal.
There's no veal.
The chicken it is.
There's a great, if you ever watch the show Fawlty Towers, there's a great line. If you don't like duck, you're rather stuck. One of the great British sitcoms of all time on the BBC. Shout out to the great John Cleese. Shaq, appreciate the time. We will catch up with you in the near future. On the other side here on You Better You Bet on this magnificent football Monday. And don't worry, we will get back to all things Wild Card Weekend. Joe Fortenbaugh will join us next hour. All my bets for the Steelers and Texans tonight will close the show. We're going to play some of the best sound for you from the weekend that was, as our friend Kenny Henderson takes center stage. Kenny's Corner, coming up next on a Monday on Westwood One Sports.
Back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
As a reminder to all our listeners and viewers, there is only one YouTube page now where you can watch You Better You Bet. YouTube.com/@TheCostos. YouTube.com/@TheCostos. TheKostos. You can follow me on all social platforms as well. @TheCostos. KOSTOS. The phone number to chime in on Wildcard Weekend, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. We will hear from our friend Kenny Henderson in a moment with Kenny's Corner, but want to get to some YouTube comments, youtube.com/@TheKostos. Our friend Kevin Hilmer says the Rams in cold weather coming up this weekend. Puka could have 200 yards, but couldn't ask for a better setup if you are his Chicago Bears. I actually don't disagree with that, and I think everyone knows what I was saying heading into the playoffs was Eagles or Rams, and I'll take the Eagles, and clearly wrong about that, given that the Eagles got eliminated yesterday. I think the Rams are probably going to win, but man, the Rams secondary stinks, and I think Chicago is going to be able to score in this game against the LA Rams. I do think it's going to be an interesting handicap. My gut says the over early in the week. We got a couple days to obviously figure it out before the weekend. At Excalibur14 says, if Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl, the Predators may drop a spaceship down on the field and take him, or perhaps give him a souvenir. Josh Allen does seem a little bit to be alien-like at this moment right now. At AndyB2961 on YouTube, I wish the Chargers could have called Grandpa Philip Rivers. Would have made, honestly, that's the best one. He's 100% right. If Justin Herbert's going to be that, then at least let Philip Rivers play for the Chargers. Forget about Philip Rivers. What's Stan Humphries doing? Yeah, like, what can Dan Fouts come out of the broadcast booth and play for the Chargers? At least make it fun if that's what you're going to get from Justin Herbert. It's a miserable performance last night. And I lost money on it because I bet the Chargers +3.5 at BetMGM. And speaking of BetMGM, the Pro Football Playoffs are finally here, and BetMGM is giving you a way to make every snap even bigger. Activate today's Pro Football Odds Boost token on any Pro Football bet, and if your bet hits, you're looking at an even bigger payout. Simple as that. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. Joining us right now on the show is our excellent engineer, the great Kenny Henderson, basking in the glory of a Bears win on Saturday against the Green Bay Packers. Kenny, happy Monday. How was your weekend?
Phenomenal. That Bears win has to rank up there as Chicago sports moments of my lifetime. First win since I was 12 years old. Playoff win, I should say.
I like that Kenny is static about the Bears winning. It still speaks in the monotone. Yes, it was great. I was very happy on Saturday night when my Bears won the game. I know from our text exchange that Kenny was absolutely positively thrilled with the result. So, my friend, let's get to Kenny's Corner, lay down our Lil Wayne bed here, and hit us with some of the best sound of the weekend. We'll hear from Bill and Tyler here in a moment as well.
We are going to start from the Bills-Jags game. Yesterday, Jags were losers, but what a season it was for Liam Cohen in his first year. And Lynn Jones of the Jacksonville Press made sure to let Liam know.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
You did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You
keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, Kenny. Like, I think everyone knows this, right? That was, like, on social media yesterday, that people freaked out over this question. Not a question, but positivity from Lynn Jones to Liam Cohen after the game. And you have a lot of, and, like, I'm kind of morphing into this, so I say this, I don't mean to be insulting, right? But a lot of old-timers in the sports media space, especially, you know, newspaper report, beat reporters, etc. Well, this person's not a reporter. This is not what press conferences are for. And those people aren't wrong. Like, it's really, like, not the purpose of a press conference to praise the coach and, like, offer something like that. Like, you do that, off camera. Like, not during a press conference. So I certainly understand that. But just, like, the need, and this is my opinion, and curious, like, Bill, who's an old-timer like I am in the media space now, and Tyler, you guys agree or disagree with me on this? Just, like, we don't have to get mad about everything. Like, it's not that big a deal. It's not an indictment on sports journalism as a whole, even though some people want to take it that way. Should she have done it? No. Is it unprofessional? You can certainly make a case that it is. I just, like, I don't care at all about this story. And we're addressing it, Bill, because a lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were mad. I think sometimes it is fake rage.
Sometimes I feel like this is like March Madness after Selection Sunday, when people are screaming that BYU didn't get in. They never watched one BYU game. I feel like this is it a little bit. You're like, oh, this isn't how it's supposed to be. Well, it happened. It's fine. Cohen smiled. I thought she was going to bring him a basket of muffins. Like like you said, it wasn't professional really, but it really isn't something we need to get bent out of shape about.
If I could have a number one on the muffin power ranking, I like a corn muffin. Corn would be number one for me. A cornbread muffin, I think they're the best. Tyler, what'd you make of that comment to Liam Cohen? Not a question, but a comment at the press conference.
I had a chocolate chip muffin for breakfast, by the way, which is pretty good. Probably number two, but I do love a good corn muffin. But It was 19 seconds. Like, if it was a minute, like, all right, I get it. It's unprofessional. But it was maybe 15 to 19 seconds. I actually thought it was hilarious. He seemed like, at least he kind of liked it. At least he wasn't like, I wasn't annoyed by the question. Like, a lot of fake rage. It was 19 seconds. Don't really think that was that big of a deal. Now, if it was a minute, 2 minutes, I understand the rage, but it took like nobody's time up. I thought it was fun.
And it's just like, I think it's people are mad at, because Adam Schefter was the one that like tweeted it. It's like his millions of followers. And he wrote, look at this awesome exchange. People are like, oh, it's not awesome. It's unprofessional. Like, oh, just find, I don't know, find something else to get mad at. Like, I don't know, eat a salad, get on the treadmill, figure it out. Kenny, what's next?
Also in the Bills-Jags game, we had Tony Romo making these sounds.
I'm so
disgusting.
It's gross. And honestly, when you hear Kenny, when you hear a noise like this, because you're supposed to play the audio. We haven't worked that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's okay. we'll work our way into
something.
No, that's okay. We will work ourselves into this rapport as our relationship goes on here on the show. Like, honestly, you hear that noise, it sounds like it should be something good. Except it's Tony Romo talking about, like, I don't know, like Khalil Shakir gaining 4 yards on third and seven, and now the punt unit's got to come out. I don't understand the whole Romo thing. Does anyone want to disagree with me on this? That, like, Romo's just bad. It's not even an argument at this point, right?
I think it's terrible. I think it's difficult to listen to. That's one of those where, you know, you hear people, oh, if Aikman and Buck are on, I'm going to turn the sound off kind of thing. Like, I always think, all right, that's an overreaction. This is actually getting to the point where you'd rather turn it down. Like, you're seeing other broadcasters being like, look, Tom Brady's showing you, like, examples on how to throw in the wind, and we're just getting mouth noises for 3 hours. Like, people are getting bothered.
If we have a little bit of time next hour on the show, we'll play some more sound here. Just been an exceptionally busy Monday with a bunch of breaking news. So thank you very much to Kenny. Kenny's Corner, I think we may be able to sneak some more sound into the final hour of the show. Thank you to Bill. Thank you to Tyler. Final hour, Power Hour is coming up next. All the bets for tonight in the world of sports, especially side total and props, Steelers and Texans. ESPN sports betting analyst Joe Fortenbaugh will join us at 11:20 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll continue breaking down Wild Card Weekend as well. We got to talk about the Rams win over the Panthers on Saturday and the Chargers loss last night to the New England Patriots. And we've got some breaking news in the world of college football that will impact the top of this April's NFL draft. I'll tell you what that news is and explain why it's so important on the other side as the Magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on right after this on Westwood One Sports.